teach, I pray that, Lord, you would help me to be clearly understood. Help me to show it as it really is. Lord, I pray that you touch hearts. I pray that, Lord, you would help us to use this as the tool that it is. Please, in Jesus' name, amen. Today's lesson is on counsel, and as far as starting it off, the word counsel, it's really, honestly, a lot more in the Bible than you would think it is. This one word determines whether you as a Christian have a preacher or a pastor. Now, a preacher is one where the only thing you get from him comes through those speakers and from that microphone. You know him from a distance and he shakes your hand, but counsel, if you use counsel as the tool that it's supposed to be, that means you started having a pastor and a preacher. A pastor is a counselor, one that helps you. The sermons are supposed to help you, but honestly, there's statements that you can make from the pulpit that are blanket, that are true 99.99% of the time. But there are still cases of individual counsel. There are still cases of individual counsel. I know people, because they do not get counsel, and they just come right out and say, I don't get counsel. I'm my own man, nobody tells me what to do. Because they do not get counsel and they do not listen to what I'm getting ready to give you today, they don't have a pastor. The only thing they have is a preacher. And that is one that gives it. The only thing they hear pastors say is what he says from the pulpit. And that's why I want to encourage you. I hope today at the end of the lesson you can say, I need a pastor. I need a pastor. I don't just need a preacher. Let's get started here. Deuteronomy 32, 28 and 29 say, for they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. God says, people who do not get counsel are void of wisdom. They don't have it. We're going to look at a definition here, but I looked up some Greek words. I put it in the lesson so that we could just look up how this word's defined here. Watch this. Advice by implication, plan, also prudence. And it's used, that same word is used, advice, advisement, counsel, or purpose. Counsel, according to the Bible, is this. Advice for a direction in your life. If I don't know how to build a deck on the back of my house, I can go to a carpenter and get advice on how to build a deck. But when it comes to my life and the direction I'm going, that's counsel. I'm not supposed to go to anybody and get counsel. That's the difference. If I wanted to know about excavating, I'd ask Brother Corbin. But as far as direction for life, as far as getting a tip on how you do something and getting counsel are two different things. Two different things. Now, if you got the definition of the word counsel in mind, it means when I want to know what to do with my life, what direction should my life go, now it's time to get counsel. Let's look at how important it is. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. God says, you fall without counsel. Anybody can learn from their own mistakes. A wise man will learn from somebody else's mistakes. That's counsel. Now, watch this. It says, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. That does not mean this. If I have a lot of counselors, it does not mean I ask you what you think I should do. You give Mrs. Davis to give me an answer. Then I ask Brother Holman what he thinks I should do. He gives me an answer. I don't like either one of those. So I come over here to TJ and I ask him what he thinks I ought to do. I don't like that answer. I ask Miss Chanel. I ask Miss Williams. I come here to Matt and Matt tells me something I really want to hear. So I've gotten a multitude of counselors. And according to the Bible, it says there that I'm in safety now. That's garbage. That's called I was asking somebody my question until I came to the answer that I wanted to hear. And that is what most do. I'm not looking for your advice. I'm looking for you to agree with me. And that's as far as learning how people ask questions and things. Okay? Counsel, God says a multitude of counselors does not mean I'm supposed to ask a whole bunch of people. What multitude of counselors means is this. Your life can be partitioned into your entertainment, your free time, your home life, your job, your finances. And if I have a counselor that I go to, that I submit to their authority in each one of those areas, that is a multitude of counselors. That's safety. That's safety. I didn't buy my car without getting counsel. That's a big step. I didn't buy our house without getting counsel. That's a big step. I have someone I go to that's godly and I believe loves me and prays for me when I go to make a big decision before I spend any money. I have a counselor on my car. I'm talking about work that needs to be done on it. Okay? I have a counselor on my marriage. That's an area of my life. God says if you have a lot of counselors, your life, you've broken your life down, you think about the areas of your life, and you have a counselor in each one of those areas, that's wisdom. And you're safe. You're safe that way. That's what God says. Let's keep on going here. Watch this. I put down there, have you run that past the pastor? That's probably one of the phrases that comes out of my mouth the most. Have you run that past the pastor? You know, it would be one thing if you got to put a $10 bill in the box after you leave his office, but it's free. Okay? It's free. All right? And it's something you have accessible to you as a Christian and as a church member. Have you run that past the preacher? Well, we're thinking of moving because our job is taking us. Have you run that past the preacher? You know how many people I know that move just for one reason? A job. That's it. Well, you know, there's a lot of other factors to take in consideration. Is there a church to go to? Well, we can find a church anywhere. I know that. But, I mean, is there a good church to go to? That's counsel. That's a decision that's going to affect your kids. That's a decision that's going to... I'm just saying, as far as, have you run that past the pastor, getting counsel? Look at Proverbs 15:22. This word counsel is in the Bible a lot. It says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It's neat. Neat word, okay? Watch this. Proverbs 24:6, by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there's safety. War is a major undertaking. You've got how are you going to feed them? How are you going to get them there? How are you going to handle the wounded? There's a lot of faucets to a war. And God says before you get ready to take a major undertaking in your life, God says get counsel. Before you go to war, before you take on this big situation here, get counsel. Get counsel. That's why. Let's keep on going here. Here's some more Bible verses on counsel, and we'll look at this a little bit longer here in the end. But 1 Samuel 9:6 says, he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show, and then watch it, show us our way that we should go. That phrase there, the way that we should go, is in reference, what are we going to do with our life? And I don't go to everybody for that. I go to a man of God. I go to a man of God. And there is, I can say, praise the Lord, in Columbia, there is a man of God. Okay? And he can show us our way that we ought to go. Neat verse in the Bible. It's talking about getting counsel. All right? Let's keep on going here. 2 Kings 8:8, and the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand and go meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? The king wanted counsel. He said, tell me what my future is going to be like. He said, am I sick because I'm being chastised, or am I sick? He said, just somebody that's being sick. He said, tell me the future here. He said, let me know what's going on. He says, as far as the kingdom. Watch this. You should seek the man of God concerning sickness. James 5:14-15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I'm not against doctors. I'm totally for it. Totally for doctors. But many times, God says, if there is someone in the church that's sick, God says, one of the things you can do is go to the preacher. And he can anoint you with oil. And it says the prayer of faith. Prayer of what? The asking of faith. God takes the asking in faith. Preacher, would you anoint me with oil? Whether it's this illness or this illness. And look, we're not one of those churches that put the neck braces and the crutches and stuff like that on the walls. Okay? But many times the first thing people are looking for is the first thing they run to is the doctor. And God says when you get sick, God says one of your tools should be is go to the preacher. And it's nothing he advertises. If you have enough faith to ask, I believe that's the prayer of faith. And God sees that. Oh, that's silly. I wouldn't. Okay, then that's not going to work. Okay? But when you have enough faith, wow, God says when I get sick, it's free. That's what. I mean, it's something that God tells me to do as a church member. Is any sick among you? You can go to the preacher, have him anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Doesn't mean every time. Have we seen people healed? Yes, sir. Have we seen people not healed? Yes, sir. Both. It's interesting. In the Bible, counsel concerning what? A lot of things. Finances, sickness, on and on it goes. Let's keep on going here. Watch this. Even the President of the United States realizes the importance of counsel and chooses for himself a group of men whom he calls his cabinet. These men are experts or perverts in different fields in which the president has to make decisions, okay, depending on who's president at the time, okay? He meets with them for counsel and advice. Even a lost man knows I need counsel, okay? I need someone that can see past the tree and see the forest. Because sometimes all I can see is this. I need somebody that's not in the middle of it. Someone said, you don't know what I'm going through. Careful, that may be good. It may be good sometimes. If you've never been there, then you can't associate with it. Careful, that may be a plus. They're not beat with it day in and day out. You can get somebody's fresh mind on it. Okay, here we go. Watch this. Look in the Bible of lost men, kings, who used this. Watch this. For as much as thou art sent of the king and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand. So the king here had seven counselors. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, a lost man. Okay, are you ready? The king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors. A lost man had counselors. Even the lost people. That's why getting counsel has nothing to do with whether you're saved or not. Now it helps, but it has nothing to do with salvation. Let's go for one more. And Ahithophel was the king's counselor. Okay, talking about King David. And Hushai the Archite was the king's companion. Kings in the Bible had counselors. Pity the person, okay, when it comes to this thing called counsel, pity the person that knows it all. Pity the person that says, I don't need somebody else's advice. I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. And I love what one preacher said when he preached here, I think 2 years ago. He said, you're right. I make my own decisions. And one of the decisions I've decided to make is I get advice from other men. I get counsel. That's a decision I've made because I've seen in the Bible that it's right to do. Let's keep on going here. Watch this. You are foolish to take only your own counsel. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Now that's a strong verse, but God says, if you trust your heart or the seat of your emotions, well, I just feel this is what I ought to do. Careful, if you're the only one you get counsel from, God calls that foolishness. You don't do that. Why? Because the Bible says also in Jeremiah 17:5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Look at Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart will lie to you. Someone says, I just feel like this is what I ought to do. Careful. You're entering an area where you don't want anybody to tell you what to do. I don't think everybody ought to be giving you advice. But I think you ought to have some people that you know love you and pray for you, that you can go to and ask their advice. So just to make sure that your heart doesn't trick you, because your heart's desperately wicked. It's not a real flattering statement. Okay, here we go. Let's keep on going here. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It seems right. But you don't understand. I've thought this through. It just seems right. I talked to a man last week. He came up to me. He said, were you in the Marine Corps? I said, yes, sir. He said, oh, wow. He said, man, I'm going in the service too. He said, I said, are you saved? He said, well, yes. I said, have you asked your preacher about that? He said, no. I said, have you ever prayed about what you ought to do with your life? This is a young boy I'm talking with, 17 years old. No. He said, it's just something I've always wanted to do. That's what he must have said that. It's something I've always wanted to do. He must have said that 6 times in the half hour I was talking with him. I said, okay, can I tell you something? In the Marine Corps, I had drugs in my room every day. I said, I had liquor in my room every day. He said, oh, they test for drugs. I said, they have ways around that. I said, they just find out when the test was coming and then they'd stay up, drink vinegar all night, it'll override the system, and everything's fine. They have ways around that. Oh, I said, are you saved, son? He said, yeah. I said, does God have anything to do with your life? I said, does God's opinion matter on anything you do? And he said, well, it's just something. And on it goes. Okay, it didn't end real good. At any rate, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Your own counsel is not enough. You don't know enough to guide your own life. Job 18:7 says, the steps of his strength, now watch these verses real careful, the steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Every time, we're getting ready to look at a couple verses here, every time in the Bible I find someone getting advice from themselves, it always leads in a mess. And there's a lot of it in the Bible. I just looked up, you're going to find out, I looked up the word own counsel. Someone taking counsel from their self. Watch what happens. Look in Psalm 5:10. Destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Psalm 81:11-13. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Wow. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Jeremiah 7:24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward, not forward. Here we go. This isn't in the Bible once or twice or three times. It's in the Bible a lot. You should not be the only one that gives you advice. Don't do that. It's just, I don't find out any time where it ends up well in the Bible. Watch this. Let's look at another verse. Look at this. Hosea 11:6. And the sword shall abide on his cities, and shall consume his branches, and devour them because of their own counsels. Their own counsels. Wow. I'll say this. And some of the years that I've had access to some of the teenagers in our church, knowing some problems that were happening and taking place, I've had teenagers say to me, "You please don't tell anybody. If my mom and dad find out that the preacher knows what's happening in our house, they said they're never coming to church again." Those are parents who said, "We don't get counsel. We don't want anybody else to know." And watch this. Nothing I've ever seen go in that office back there in the pastor's office has ever been put in the bulletin. In other words, it's confidential. I said, "Then why don't you come in during the week when there's no cars in the parking lot?" And they said, "Well, somebody might see us walk in. They'll think we're having problems." I said, "You know, not everybody that talks with the preacher during the week is having problems. You know, sometimes, I mean, I've seen a lot of people come in, 'Hey, preacher, you heard this joke?'" Okay? I'm just saying, as far as, you know, not everybody that walks into that office is having problems. And there are some families who say, if anybody ever finds out that our home is not an ideal, utopia situation, if anybody finds out, we're out of here. They don't get counsel. And watch this, their kids hurt because of it. And I get to watch that firsthand. So, you say, what do you do? I shut my mouth. Nothing I can do. My hands are tied. And if I could tell them anything, I don't have to be the one they come into. I can just say, man, get to the preacher. Do what God tells you to do. You don't have to go through that by yourself. I believe that honestly with all my heart. If I could pray someone, we got Brother Holman in here. And there's several people in here. I know you. Brother Holman has said many times he enjoys contact with his preacher. He enjoys just keeping contact with his preacher. I can tell you other situations and things like that. I'm just letting you know, as far as that's wisdom. That is wisdom. Okay? And I could use other examples here. I'm not going to. You do not get counsel. Okay? Okay, watch this. Keep on following down here. In the Bible, there's good counsel and bad counsel. Everybody gets counsel, but it isn't always good. You're not to get counsel from people who are not right with God. You can get facts on how to build a bridge from a bridge builder, but he's not to give you advice for life. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14, watch this. Very important verse. Watch what happens here. 1 Chronicles 10:13-14. So Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. So Saul dies. Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. He sought it. Okay, and I put that in print, italics. It shouldn't be there, but it says he sought it from a witch. One that had a familiar spirit. Divination. Horoscopes. Psychics. Palm readers. Those are all people with familiar spirits. God says, God killed Saul for that. Oh, what should I do? Bring up Saul from the... If you've ever read the Bible or that account, he goes to the witch of Endor and says, bring up Saul. I need to talk... bring up Samuel. I need to talk to Samuel. The prophet's dead and I need to speak with him. And it says, the voice of Samuel appeared and on and on it goes. You say, can you really call people from the dead? No. People have said, I've been to seances and I've talked to my grandmother, I've talked to my uncle or whatever. No, they weren't talking to them. God says once someone dies, it's impossible for them to get out. No one goes back and forth. No one. You say, well, what happened? How come they can hypnotize somebody and say, what did this palace of this king look like? Well, there were demons there. The demon gives that account to that person. You say, well, when they're at a seance and they ask, I want to speak to my uncle, or I want to speak to my grandmother or somebody else like that that's passed on, then who is it that's speaking? It's demons. Familiar spirits, the Bible calls them. God says, you're not to have anything to do with that. You're not to call for horoscopes. God says, that's wrong. God killed Saul for that. I know, I got family members. They first thing they do in the morning, they've got to read the paper horoscope. If it's a bad one, they don't go to work. That's not letting... You know, listen, the future's scary for everybody. You understand that? Nobody knows what's going to happen tomorrow. You think you do, but nobody... It's scary for everybody. So that's what everybody wants to know. Can you tell me my future? And God says it's very dangerous and you're not to live as a Christian that way. God killed Saul for getting counsel, but wrong counsel. Isaiah 30, verse 1. Look at this verse here. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. So you can get counsel that's not godly. You can get counsel that's not of God, okay? And that's plain to see. Watch this. Bad counsel caused Rehoboam's downfall. 1 Kings 12, 3 through 13, it says here, they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam. So here's a whole group of people speaking unto Rehoboam. Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Saul was the richest man that ever lived, ever would be, and there never will be a richer king. But there was a reason. He taxed the people to death. Your father about killed us with taxes. If you'll just lighten the load a little bit, we'll serve you. That's what the people are asking. And he said unto them, verse 5, depart yet for 3 days, then come again to me. And the people departed. Verse 6, King Rehoboam consulted with the old men. Now watch that. So he's going to the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. Wow. That came from the older men. Good advice. Good advice. Came from the older men. But, verse 8, he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him and which stood before him. Wow. I love telling teenagers this. The worst person you can get advice from is your peer. Stupidest decision you'll ever make. They haven't been anywhere. They don't know nothing. They haven't done anything. You go to the old men. You get yourself to the older men. You ask somebody that's been somewhere and done something. You don't ask your schoolmate. He doesn't know anything either. He's airhead. Ding dong. Fill in the blank. Okay? Rehoboam did this, and watch what happened. He said, I don't want to listen to the old people's advice. Watch what happened. He went to the young men. He said here, and he said, verse 9, and he said unto them, what counsel give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. He said, loins are right here between the hip and the rib cage. He said, my little finger. He said, it's going to be heavier than my father's loins. He said, I'm going to practically quadruple everything my father ever did. What's the young men saying? Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, hey, let's keep the money rolling in. Yeah, let's. And the old men are saying, stop, you're gonna hurt the people. You're going to kill them. And then watch what happens. He says here, verse 11, and now whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father hath chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So, Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day. As the king had appointed, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him. And the rest is history. It split the kingdom and Israel never recovered from that. Why? Because a king decided to take his peers' counsel instead of the old men's counsel. There's good counsel and bad counsel. Okay, here we go. Let's keep on going here. Bad counsel will hurt you. You're never to counsel with the ungodly. Job 21:16 says this. Watch. Lo, their good is not in their hand. The counsel of the wicked is far from me. There are counsel of wicked people. Watch the next verse. Psalm 1:1-2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Interesting verse. God does not use the word wicked. He used that in the verse up above. Wicked and ungodly are two different things. Wicked is just, vile, throwing your hands up, can't stand God. That's wicked. Ungodly just means without God. Without. Godly. Without God. Boys, sit still, or why don't you guys go right in the back there? Okay? You sure can. The restroom's right back there. Okay? All right. The counsel of the ungodly, God says, if you know someone... Here's something. They're a good tax-paying citizen. They say yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'am, and they pay their bills on time. But does God have anything to do with their life? God says you're not supposed to get counsel from just a nice person. I know a lot of nice people that are ungodly. They're not wicked. They're just ungodly. God doesn't have anything to do with their life. They don't pray. They don't read their Bible. And honestly, what God has to say, honestly, doesn't matter a whole lot. It's ungodly. Who do you get advice from? You get advice from somebody. How godly are they? Okay, watch this. Here we go. Keep on going here. It is dangerous and unwise for a high school student to seek the counsel of so-called senior counselors if they're not Christians. The same is true of Christian psychologists. Christian psychology. Can I take it just for a word, just for a second? Psychology is this. Psych. Okay? The soul. Ology. The study of. Psychology. The study of the soul. Okay? That's what psychology is. Who knows more about the soul of man? Man? Or God that created man? The best psychologist you'll ever go to as a Christian is your preacher that loves you, prays for you, and knows this book. This is the best book on psychology you'll ever read. Okay, Freudian psychology. Okay, let me take you one. Rogerian psychology. Are you ready for this? Let's get some training in here. You ready? Rogerian psychology says man is a victim of his circumstances. If you can change his circumstances, then you can take man up a level. That's Rogerian psychology. Can I give you, if that's the case, then Adam and Eve didn't have to fall. They were in a perfect setting. Rogerian psychology has got holes in it. Okay? That's Rogerian psychology. Government housing projects are a product of Rogerian psychology. They said if we can build them a home, provide them with a beautiful atmosphere, give them everything they need, that everything will be just fine. Let's go knock on a couple of doors about 500 yards from here and we'll see if everything's just fine. Freudian psychology says man's problems are all rooted in a deep-seated desire to have sex with his own mother. That's in a Freudian psychology book. Okay? My sister went to a Freudian psychologist when she was 18. She had TMJ. And she was having severe headaches. The doctor looked at my sister, who had studied Freudian psychology. They all come under three categories, okay? There's several different psychologists. This was a Freudian psychologist. He looked at my sister at age 18, and he said, you have bad headaches, don't you? And she said, yes. And since you'd been telling him, he said, what you need to do is your problem is you've never had sex. Am I right? Are you a virgin? He said, my sister said, yes. He said, what you need to do is have sex. That'll take care of your headaches and some of the problems there. You're inhibiting some passions there, and that's causing a release. And on it goes. That is heathen. Are you for any psychologist? No, I'm not. None. Zero. Okay? Psychiatry. I don't know why I'm parking here so long. It's in the notes, but okay. Psychiatry is very dangerous. Psychiatry, there are people who have, okay, chemical imbalances, but they're few and far between. They're few and far between. Psychiatry is where they use mood-altering drugs. Those are very powerful. Nerve medicine, whatever you call it. There's a lot of people on that that have no business being on it. Psychiatry. Okay, you know what makes a witch doctor? Witch doctors use drugs to encounter the spirit world. The word for sorcery in the Bible is pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy. Whenever they want to encounter, whenever witches or whatever, they use drugs to cause their mind to sense another state. That's why I'm not for any psychologist. I'm not for any psychology. The best psychologist you'll ever talk to is your preacher. This is the best book on psychology you will ever read, period. And anybody who goes to them, I'll tell them, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. Don't do it. Have you run that past the preacher yet? It's a good... At any rate, here we go. Let's keep on going here. Proverbs 12:5, okay? The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Okay? You need a wise counselor. And then you have some verses there on how King David, a man after God's own heart, had counselors, and you can look at that there. Every Christian, look at the next page, every Christian should have a cabinet of good counselors. Every Christian. Every Christian, just like the president, knows he has to have somebody to get advice from, every Christian to make it in life. And watch this. This is a word that's found a lot in the Bible. Counsel. Getting counsel. It's found an awful lot. Okay? Every Christian needs a cabinet, a group of people that they can, that are godly that they can go to. Maybe it's just one, could be several, but watch. Who should be in your cabinet? The pastor should be in your cabinet. Somebody that you're willing to go to. Okay? And we haven't got fully time to look at this. But before making any serious decisions, certainly one would want to counsel with a pastor. Okay? 1 Corinthians 11:10-8 says this, and I'm going to cover this because this is in your notes. I don't want this being misunderstood. The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. God says that a woman is to have authority over her head or power because of demonic influence. Who was it that was deceived in the Garden of Eden? Eve. The Bible plainly says that. She wasn't. It didn't say Eve sinned. It says Adam sinned. God told Adam, you are not to eat of that tree. The serpent tricked Eve. A woman is prone, more prone to deception. So God says, because of that, a woman should have an authority over her head. Okay, now here we go. In our church, there have been ladies who have been through very painful divorces. Divorce, I've never seen a divorce that isn't painful. It isn't. They're just nasty, regardless. I have said to some ladies, you need an authority in this time in your life. Because when you're going through that deep of a pain, you really should be reading the Bible for strength, not guidance. Your authority used to be your husband. You no longer have that. Who is your authority? It's very dangerous. It's a very dangerous time for anyone. It's a very dangerous time for men or women going through that. And it's sad. It's part of our society and on it goes. But I'm just saying, I put in here, women should read the Bible for strength, not guidance. Most people cannot read the Bible for guidance. Okay? Now, if you don't know the background, I was talking to women who've been through divorces. And God says they need an authority over their head. It's a very vulnerable time. It's a very painful time. And so that's why I put that in there. That's called getting counsel. As far as a very good one could be the pastor in that case. Okay, here we go. So who should be in your cabinet of counselors? The pastor. Number two, choose someone with a gift of wisdom. A wise person has several traits. How can I tell if they have wisdom? Number one, he himself loves the Lord. Number two, he himself gets counsel from godly people. Number three, he himself is a soul winner. Okay? He that winneth souls is wise. Number four, he loves preaching. Number five, he's behind the pastor. Okay? Those are some traits of wise people. If they don't have those traits, then don't get advice from them. Okay? Don't get advice from them. Let's keep on going here. If they did not meet the requirements, then do not get advice from them on the direction your life should go. Wisdom, the Bible says, comes only from the Lord. So you only get that wisdom if you're right with God. It amazes me, the advice that people will ask other people, watch this, who aren't even faithful to church, what do you think I should do? People that as far as, I had one teenager tell me, he said, well, I asked this one man what I should do. He said, he hasn't been to church, you know, in the past 12 years, but I asked him what he thought I should do. I said, that's not a wise person. That's not a wise person. That's someone to whom church is not important. I said, what are you doing? Giving your life to somebody like that. Okay, let's keep on going here. Watch this. And you got some verses there on how wisdom comes only from the Lord. And number three, who else should be in your counselor, in your cabinet of counselors, a sincere friend? Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Wow. A good friend. Now, watch this. Not someone who tells you what you want to hear, but someone who's frank enough to tell you the truth. It should be one who knows you well. It should be one who loves you in spite of your faults. That is a sincere friend. I love the old statement. A real friend will tell you when you have a booger in your nose and still be your friend afterwards. Okay. That's the definition of a real friend. Okay. Okay. Let's keep on going. At any rate, let's keep on going. That was just to help you. Okay. Number one, a pastor. Number two, choose someone with a gift of wisdom. Number three, a sincere friend. Number four, someone who's successful in your field or in the field you plan to enter. And certainly this would be a Christian. Okay. This should be a Christian. Number five, parents. Every teenager who does not have their parents for a counselor is an idiot. Well, I don't put up with that. I won't put up with that. It's silly. It's wrong. It's not right. Something is wrong in that teenager's life when they will not go to their parents. Something is wrong. Okay? Parents should be in the counselor. And watch this. Finally, the Word of God. The Word of God is a wonderful counselor. I've had people say as far as that this should have been first listed. The Word of God should have been the first thing. I understand that. But do you know how many... Okay, a lot of people don't use the Bible for their counselor. And this class is supposed to let you know, hey, you've got a lot of things available to you as a Christian. If you never let... If you had to live here, you've got the preacher. I'm sure there's a friend somewhere. Okay? And then you've also got the Word of God to be your counselor. God says, I'll guide you with my light. I'll guide you. A good man, the Lord order the steps of a good man. The good steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Okay? Sorry about that, misquote. Let's keep on going here. A fool is one who doesn't get counsel. I want to just look at a couple of these verses right there in the middle of the page. A fool is one who doesn't get counsel. Proverbs 15:12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Proverbs 23:9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. The Bible says a fool, one trait of a fool is he doesn't like counsel. He doesn't want counsel. Now that's interesting. I've always thought there's something wrong with someone who will not get counsel. And put in your notes down there all the way at the bottom of the page, counsel is an authority issue. It's not one of personal preference. It's an authority issue. It's an authority issue. Counsel is vital. We're not talking it's in the Bible once. We're not talking it's in the Bible just 10 or 12 times. It's literally from cover to cover. It is something that you're supposed to use as a Christian as a tool to help you succeed and not go through a lot of the pain that a lot of the world has to go through. It is a tool that you're supposed to be able to use in your toolbox. I have no doubt in my mind there are people who go through problems that God never intended for them to go through alone. But because they're proud and they don't want anybody else telling them what to do, they end up going it alone. There are burdens that people bear that honestly, God knew what their life held. And God never intended for them to go through that burden by themselves. because they don't get counsel, they end up going it all alone. Can I show you a neat story in the Bible, and then we need to close? On the next page there, I want you to look at 1 Samuel 9, 1 through 17, and watch what happens here. We're not going to read the whole thing, but watch this. Look at verse 3, and we'll read a little bit, and we'll skip down. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said unto Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go, seek the asses. And he passed through Mount Ephraim, and passed through the land of Shalasha, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalem, and there they were not. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. And when they were come to the land of Zuph, Saul said to his servant that was with him, come and let us return, lest my father leave caring for the asses and take thought for us. We've been gone so long. He said, we better just go back to my dad. He said, I don't want him worried about me. Watch what happens next. And he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. And he's an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Then Saul said to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at the hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. And so he ends up going there, and then watch what happens here. Skip down to verse 13. Verse 13. And as soon as you come into the city, ye shall straightway find him. Before he go up to the high place to eat, for the people will not eat until he come, because he doth bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now, therefore, get you up, for about this time ye shall find him. And they went up into the city, and when they were come up into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. And then watch this. I tried to put it in bold for you. Watch this. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. Saul is coming to Samuel, the prophet, and he's got a question. And God gives the man of God the answer to the question the day before. Do you have a pastor, or is the only thing you have a preacher? God is not redundant. You know what that means? That's wordy. God doesn't, you know, when you write the 12-page essay and you only come up with 8 pages of material, so you start writing in big words and rephrasing things, that's called redundant. Saying the same thing over and over again, you got to make it stretch. God's not that way. Here's a Christian. This is what they're praying. Watch. Oh, God, show me what I ought to do. Oh, God, I'm really... Lord, show me what you want me to do. Insincerity, nothing wrong with that. But he's praying, God, show me what you ought to do. God, I need what you want to do. God, please show me. Lord, open up. Show me what you want me to do. And he's already told the preacher. But because they don't get counsel, nobody tells me what to do. God says, I already told the preacher the answer to your question. Go get some counsel from the man of God. I find that story so much through the Bible. God told Samuel a day before. Now listen, do I think everybody's that way? No, but I think the man of God's that way. You have a man of God that loves you and prays for you. You know what this class is designed to do? This one on counsel? It's supposed to open your eyes and show you counsel is from giver to giver. It's a lot in there. And you got a man of God that loves you. And listen, I could see something if you were scared or if you thought somebody was going to hurt you. No, I'm not for asking everybody advice. But when you have a man of God, God gives him the answer to a lot of your problems. Not all of them. There's some things you'll find as you read this book. There's some answers you'll get to your questions from the pulpit. There are other questions you'll get to your problems. You'll get your problems answered, some of them, by just going to the man of God. Counsel's vital. It is a tool. And I'll say it. Listen, then I got to close. There are people who go through burdens that I honestly believe God never had intended for them to go through alone. But because they won't get counsel, life is lonely. And it's filled with pain and hurt. And watch, Christians in our church. And they're going through, I mean, they're getting beat to death. But because they don't get counsel, they won't ask anybody. They end up suffering. And needlessly, because they don't understand this one tool, counsel. Counsel is vital. Let's pray.